Second Samuel. Been so many weeks since I've had this headset on, I've had to get reacquainted with it. We've had a long break from this study, this Old Testament study, on these different men that God made. Anybody that's, this is your first Sunday to be with us, I'm doing a series of one sermon overviews of the different men of God in the Old Testament. Men, significant men. Men that God worked in. And so far we've looked at 11 great men. Or rather, men who served a great God. They were nothing, really. They were just vessels that God used for His name's sake. And all of them are continuing, are living examples for us that portray God's grace in making lives that impacted their day. I could go as far as say impacted the world. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Joseph and Moses, Joshua, men that their names live on, the testimony of the living God live on. And their lives impacted their generation. And we should want the same, right? You should want that. We should all long for that. You children should listen to this. You should want your life to be spent for the glory of God. There's nothing greater, nothing else to live for than to live for God. So who is next? Oh, just a shepherd boy. Just a little runt brother, one of eight sons. Just a teenager on a delivery that hears a giant named Goliath start speaking against the Israelites and many other stories. Yes, the man David. Now, he wasn't just any man, right? I said to some guys this week, I said, you know what the greatest piece of sculpture in the world is? Unquestionably, any continent, doesn't matter, it's not even debatable. It's Michelangelo's David in Italy. And I said to these brothers, I said, it'd be special to see it one day, but I would rather have the narrative that God's given on the man David than to get to travel and go see a piece of sculpture that speaks nothing about the greatness of God. And they looked at me and we thought about that and we all kind of nodded our heads. It's true, isn't it? Michelangelo was not trying to get to the glory of God. He's dealing with a figure, a very historic figure. But this was not just any man. He was the promised king in the lineage of the great king, the Lord Jesus Christ. So David was this man along the tapestry or the history of God that represented a type, a king, a great king. Now, a few of you remember, there's not many in here that remember this, but 4 years ago, I was reading through or studying through 1 and 2 Samuel. And I was just gripped by the life of David. You can't help but be. You just pick it up and he goes from being on the backside of shepherding and they call him in and Samuel the prophet's there and Samuel anoints him. And from there on, it gets moving quickly. But I was reading through that and it gripped me and it inspired me to preach a series of sermons on the life of David. A few of you may have heard about this. And that led to 19 sermons. I didn't start with any set number. I just started preaching through different chapters of his life. They weren't all pretty, as you well know. So I did that and it was really a life-changing experience. It always is when you dig in and study extensively on a man of faith. Well, anyway, don't worry, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not taking off today on a series of sermons on David. But if you go back, and I encourage you after today, go back, pick it up, 1 Samuel, at the beginning of Samuel going to the house of Jesse, and pick this up and start reading it. And go back and do that, and it will impact your life, I will guarantee you that. Just read through the life of David and the greatness of God, what God was doing in that man. You go back and you look at his teenage years, and then you start going into his young manhood, and you will see David experience some great highs in some painful, painful lows, hard things. You get to 2 Samuel, it gets hard, difficult days. But candidly, when you do that, or try to do what I'm doing, it's tough to pick one defining moment in David's life. What would you pick? Michael, what would you pick? Dave, what would you pick? Randy, what would you pick? If you had to just pick one moment that defined the life of David, I've been trying to do this with each of these men, what would you pick? Would you pick the beginning, Samuel anointing him? This is the man that God set apart? What about the scene with Goliath? All the children in here, pretty much, that are big enough to talk, they know the story of Goliath. That's a great picture. There's other war events where David triumphs. Should we go? He inquires of the Lord. The Lord says, go. I'm going to give them to you. Or how about David's compassion on Jonathan's crippled son, Mephibosheth? There's a very powerful story, a very defining heart of this man David and what he does with that crippled boy that was out now without his father, Jonathan. All of those would be powerful. But to me, I think his final song of thanksgiving, shortly before his death, is the summation of the life of David. Yes, it's a song. It's a song. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Turn to that. Of course, David is the great songwriter in the Psalms, right? And in the Scriptures. And so he would record these songs unto God. He would recount the greatness of God, what God had done. Let me ask you, do you have a song you sing to the Lord when He delivers you? Anybody have a song? Something from Scripture? You should. You should have many. Those should be in the heart, should be on our tongue, should be in our lives. One of mine is Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. You remember that? Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. That's one of my favorites. I've prayed it in some very hard circumstances. I've sung it gently, quietly to myself in situations that were coming or that I was in that were challenging, difficult, heavy, burdensome. I've prayed and sung some of the Psalms in my car with tears, agonizing. You've done the same. This is the Christian life. And this is the life of David. So I think David's song of thanksgiving here, in an overarching kind of a way, summarizes his great God and God's abundant mercies in his life. For the record, Psalm 18 is considered the companion text to the 2 Samuel chapter 22. The language is almost exact, very, very similar. So Psalm 18, which is extensive, about God, David recounting the grace of God in his life, is a parallel or a companion text to this 2 Samuel chapter 22. What did David declare? What does David declare in this psalm? Well, let's look at it. There are five truths, five themes, five things, brothers and sisters, that we ought to hang on to that mark these sections of the text, and I want to just hit them quickly today. Again, let this be a complete summary of the life of David, or the great God of David, our God and Father. All right, first, God was his security, was his protector. Let's go to the text. We're going to do each of these sections individually. Verse 1, chapter 22, And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies. Note that, all his enemies. And out of the hand of Saul. And he said, here it is, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Stop right there. God was his security, his protector, his shelter, his place of protection, his security. Get hold of this. Throughout his life, David was often in perilous situations with evil men, right? I mean, it's just from the time that he's a teenager, and of course the men are at war, and he goes to visit them, and all the way through his life, there's perilous situations that he's in. The Goliath scene, which was really a very quick one-day event. Then as a young man, he was in constant danger of Saul, right? Saul just keeps being envious, jealous, resenting David, after him. Saul seems to have him hemmed in a few times. This is it, right? He's going to get him. So he's in perilous situations. Later in his life, he has a son, Absalom. Absalom, miserable pain that came because of Absalom's desire to become king. Basically, to displace his father. All of these caused David to be totally cast upon God, right? Totally, totally dependent upon God. But here, David declares that God is his security. That's his place to be protected. No matter who's after him. How many great warriors? How many rebellious sons? How many that are set on destroying him, whether it be in or outside of his own people? God is his security. Beloved, note the personal expressions that David uses. He uses the word my 9 times. Look at that. Go back and look. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my rock, my shield, my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, and my Savior. You get it? He's telling us something. He's saying God's it. Where do you run when things get hard? Where do we go? How do we speak? How do we act? Who is our tower? Who is our refuge? Who is our deliverer? Well, David was clear all throughout his life. To David, God was here as his security. Not out there is some religious force. Get hold of that. God comes, God delivers, God brings protection where He is. He's in caves. He's hiding out. And God is there. God comes and shows Himself to protect Him right where He is. There's so much silly talk about some spiritual forces that are out there. As if you've got to go find these things. God is with His people. And David knew that. We know it, don't we? God is a very present help. He's here. He's where you are. He's where you hurt. He's where you're discouraged. He's where you are when evil men are against you. He is your security. That is a glorious truth. It marks the whole life of David. Ultimately, no matter where you are and how long you live, it's going to mark your life too if you're a Christian. God is your security. He is your protector. God is with His people as the constant, or if you want to say this, abiding protector. And it's on a daily basis. We just heard some of these. God's in fixing things. God's with us. He is our protector. We rented a wood splitter yesterday as a family. And Jesse and I, and then Krista and Michaela helped them. And we're splitting that wood, trying to get it all stacked. And we asked God to protect us, keep us, and He did. I know it's a small moment, but He's with us. He protects us. There's a couple of times my glove could have gotten pinned in the device. And God kept it. Tom, you know what I'm talking about. These things can get out of control. But God is our security. He is our deliverer. When we take trips, when we drive, when we get up, when we go places, whatever we're about, we say, Lord, You're our protector. You're our refuge. You're our tower. You're everything. Oh, there's wonderful pictures of this in day-to-day living, right? That God shows Himself in that way. Jeff and Jared, years ago, leaving the Bentley camp, hydroplaning out on East Texas on I-20, hydroplane crossed the median into the other lane. No cars hit them. spun, didn't you? Spin across, going 60, 65 miles an hour. God is their protector, right? Deliverer. Incredible picture. Just last August, Jesse and Michaela and Krista were coming around the airport. She's in the right lane, 65 miles an hour. Truck, he has to avoid something. He slams into her on the driver's side, and then it rolls off a pretty steep slope. Even the police officer basically said, you didn't smash all the way in and crush y'all on the car, but he kept you from going down the ditch. The police officer walked away saying, God did this. He had to think that. God kept them. He is our ever-present help. This is what David said. We have different Goliaths that come against us, right? Not necessarily physical men. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is physical men that want to hurt us. But God is with us. He's our protector. That's the first thing. He's our security. He's your shelter. What else did David sing about? Second, he's not just our protector, our shelter. He is our deliverer. He delivers you. He gets you out of things. He brings you out in a glorious way. And you testify to others. Go back to the text. Pick it up in verse 5. Listen to the language of this. I'm going to read from verse 5 to 20, so I'm just going to move quickly. But listen to it. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because He was wroth. There went up smoke out of His nostrils, and a fire of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and He was seen upon the wings of the wind. This is powerful language here. And He made darkness pavilions round about Him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before Him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice, and He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered, at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of His nostrils. He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. Lay hold of that. He delivered me. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. Stop right there. God was His deliverer. Not only is the God a place of shelter and protection, but God moves. He comes. And He does great things. And David saw this. I mean, David, so often, as I've already referenced, it didn't look good. David even said to Jonathan, "It's it. My days are numbered. It's over." And Jonathan, which is the son of the king, Saul, Jonathan had to say to him, "David, that is not the case. God's going to keep you." And David, when he would get into these hopeless situations, he continued to call upon the Lord. Because evil men had him. The circumstances looked unescapable. Consider how painfully honest David is. Are you this honest in prayer and in needs for God to move? Death, listen to this, death compassed me. I mean, it's right here. I feel it. I'm that close to death. Listen to this one. Ungodly men made me afraid. For they were too strong for me. There's another phrase. For they, these heathen men, ungodly men against me, set upon destroying me, they were too strong for me, and they're too strong for you and I, aren't they? Right? That's the truth. Our strength is in Him. Our strength is in God. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, comes, makes us a new creation, and He's in us. He fills us. He's ours. We are His. He carries us all the way. And yet, when we feel like we're overwhelmed, God is our deliverer. The language of David is desperate. Very desperate. The sorrows, distress. Listen to these words. But then, look what happens. Have you been in situations where God just came and then, He just starts scattering things that are challenging and heavy and discouraging, things that are fearful and things that have you by the neck, and God comes and He delivers. It's awesome. It's real. It's inexplainable to the unconverted man. It's God when He moves. And He does. He works for His people. He loves to deliver. Look at verse 8. Look here, He comes. Look at the language of this. Then the earth shook and trembled. God's moving. The foundations of heaven moved and shook. Look at verse 10. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Wow. So it's just God moving. God moving for David. God moving for His people. Verse 18. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong. He delivered. There it is. The language. This thing of deliverance. God did it. God moved. I get so weary of little pictures and little stories and little emails and stuff about God being this trinkety God that just, He just has these little tender little things He does. We're talking about the Almighty. The God who moves, He stirs the ocean, He sends the clouds and the storms, He opens the earth, He causes tsunamis, and He does whatever He's going to do. He crushes countries and people and individuals. He triumphs gloriously. This is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not small. He's big. He's grand. And He works. He delivers. We're not talking to some statue or some building. We're talking about the living God. The God who's in us. It's just staggering. The metaphors are amazing. David can't even get to the fullness in the English language of what he's trying to say here. There's such a force to it. The vivid picture here, saints, is when God arises, He will triumph. He will triumph for you. He will triumph in His people. And you can rest in that. You do need to rest in that, right? Find comfort in this. If God be for you, who can be against you? Right? God is with His people. God was with David. David is speaking so comprehensively in his life. He not only protected me, then He came and delivered me. Oh, what an encouragement that He delivers. Some of the things we didn't even know we were being delivered from, right? Some things you don't fully even realize until you look back later and you hear or you see what was going on. I think of Brother Saeed, right? Think of Saeed, the years of gospel labor, the years of going, being, and God keeping him, God delivering him and carrying him all the way through the years. I'm sure that Rebecca and Andy Hamilton could tell unbelievable stories to us. These things happen in His people's lives. He delivers them. I just read this week about a man years ago who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. He's one of 34 people in the history of that bridge to live through it. 1,600 have died jumping off that bridge. And this man lived. You know what he said? He said, "I was sick and God saved my life and now I tell others about it." I'd say that's a deliverer. That's a deliverer. That's a God who says that man's days are not done. He is mine. So when Jonathan said to David, "It doesn't matter what Saul's intended to do to you. God's with you. What else do you need?" It doesn't make us arrogant. It just makes us walk with Him. Trust Him. "Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God is with me. God is with us." So Saeed, or this man that jumped, Krista and her mother, 9 years ago on their trip in Italy, they were asleep in their hotel room, kind of up several floors in the hotel, and she awakes just enough to know there's a robber in their room going through their things. And never did they have a confrontation. He ended up going out the window, down the fire escape, whatever ended up happening. But Krista and my mother-in-law were never harmed. God is with us, right? He's our deliverer. So He's our protector and He's our deliverer. That's what David is saying. That's what David saw in his life. What else did David sing about? Third, God was his reward. Now hang on to this. This is God was his reward. We could put the word his blessing. Go to verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. It's the same kind of language. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before Him and have kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. God was his reward. I just want you to think about that. God was his treasure, his provider, his reward, his reward. God blessed him. Great things for David. I want to make this clear, though. David is not boasting here of himself. He's not bragging about his own good works. When he says he rewarded me or he recompensed me, he is not being arrogant as though he and God had a deal. He's saying, when I walked in the ways of God, when I looked to Him and trusted in Him and kept His ways, He rewarded me. He poured out His blessing upon me. God was His reward. I'll often say about people you see that are unconverted or people that have a pseudo profession of faith and they don't seek the Lord and they don't walk in His ways and they don't honor Him and they wonder why things don't go well in their life. And you know, that's a relative phrase. What does it mean if it goes well in your life? Because men have gone to the stake and died with absolute joy, overflowing joy in Christ. But I'm talking about the day-to-day living. What am I about? What does my life count? How do I impact others? What am I living for? Does it have the blessing of God on it? David's saying, when I walked with God, when I was in His ways, He rewarded me. He not only was my protector, my deliverer, He was my reward. He took care of me. He blessed me. In fact, He was overwhelmingly blessed, right? The word reward in this language here means deal bountifully with. God dealt bountifully with David. I like that. He's dealt bountifully with you too. That's a Christian. When you're a Christian, when you're a child of God, He deals with His children. And that does, I'm not talking about possessions per se, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about stuff. We're talking about God in His presence, in reality, by His Son, by His Spirit, bountifully blessing us, ministering to us. Where we know, you feel, you know God's presence, His deliverance, you know His blessings. Let me see if I can get to the essence of it. God takes care of His people. He takes care of His people. Those who honor Him, He will honor. Those who seek Him, He will lead. Those who worship Him, He will fill. Those who trust Him, He will show Himself strong. He is your reward, right? He is your reward. Look at verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. There's that language. Verse 25. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His eyesight. We do not serve our Savior and our God based upon works or law. We serve in the grace of God. But when we walk in His ways and we live for God, we can trust that He will reward or take care of us beyond what we could even share. These guys who have corrupted Scripture and talking about getting things in the name of Jesus, claim it, bring it in, it's yours. Liars and deceivers are not talking about that. We're talking about the overwhelming reality of the Holy Spirit, God with us, His presence, His nearness, His reward. You could just be going through a small thing of a day or sometime this week, and God will come and He'll be your great reward, your blessing. He will say to you, I am with you. Look to me. You are mine. So, beloved, you are to walk worthy of His name and then rest in His timing and His means of blessing. And that applies in so many different ways. His blessings. Sometimes it'll come soon. Sometimes it may not come till later. But God cares for His children. He is their reward. He was David's reward. He is our reward. What else did David sing about? Protector, deliverer, rewarder. Fourth, God was his strength. This is phenomenal right here. God was his strength. He enabled David. He came, if you will, from outside and came upon David and had David do things and triumph in ways that are absolutely clear. It was not the raw strength, intellect, genius of David. David declares to the world that God was his strength all the way through. Go back to verse 29. For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by Thee, here we go. Now hang on. For by Thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock? Who else is a rock? Who else is a God but the living God? God is my strength and my power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. This is God. Look at where this power is coming from. Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and I turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For Thou hast girded me. Listen to these phrases. You have girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast Thou subdued under my feet. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but He answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head of the heathen, a people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth also from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Stop right there. God was his strength. Where do you get your strength from? We got so many self-help methods in the United States of America, it is sickening. Self-help. You need help in this area? All right, here, we got it. We fix it all. You need help in this area? We'll fix this. Our strength, our heartbeat is kept of God. All of our strength. David goes to great lengths. There's a lot of text here to acknowledge that God was his strength. He carried him. He was on him. He was in him. He did extraordinary things because God was with him. Think about this, brothers and sisters. All his abilities, all of his victories, all of this was empowered by God. God did it. God did it all. You men, I particularly want the men to listen to me right now. Brothers, men, you hear me on this? God was David's strength. The great statue, this big picture of David, this triumphant man holding the head of Goliath. It was God that did it. God was his strength. God tells his feet to run. God calls him to pick up a spear or whatever it was and triumph. Caused him to climb walls, triumph, go after his enemies, triumph over them. God was doing it, not you, not me. You get this? God was his strength. Corporations and financial planners and people out there will tell you, you can do it, you can do this, you can do that. I understand what they're saying. I understand that. We as parents say certain things to our children. But it's the strength of the Almighty is what you need. That's what you need. You need strength to think and to act and to do things, to be a breadwinner, to lead a family, to be a husband. You need the strength of God. To walk by faith, not by sight. You need the strength of God. You need God to come up under you and carry you. This is a sermon or a series of sermons by itself. God is our strength. These Olympians and these men of war and these men that try to boast in their own strength, it's idolatrous. Yes, we have muscles. Yes, we have frames. Yes, we have brains to think with. But is it not God who makes us use those at a different level? This is big. This is deep. You think Pentecost was because those apostles finally got it all lined up, finally got it all in plan, they had a good strategy meeting, and they're going to go ahead and start preaching in multiple languages? There's the power of the Holy Spirit coming down. You think a man's shadow can heal somebody? No. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we'll share with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise. You see, beloved, the American way is the strength of a man's legs, his own way. We have it in the White House, we have it in the Congress, we have it all over this land. The ways of the Almighty is God says, you come to me, I'll do for you. I'll carry you, I'll cause you to triumph. Because God wants the glory, He deserves all the glory. Samson was mighty only because God came upon him. Peter, James, John, Paul, Daniel, go back through any of them, Joshua, it was their God, it's our God that's with us. We are weak, we're frail, we're dying. I'm sore today. Cut a little bit of wood, that's it. Yeah, I'm sore. Jesse and I have been laughing this morning. He's telling me about his hurts and his aches. But God carries us. That's the point here. If you're putting your hope in your own strength or the strength of what other men can do for you, get rid of it, beloved. It's one thing for people to speak wisdom into your life, truth in your life. Things that a father or a coach or somebody at work. I'm not discounting that. But where is your true strength? What a clear testimony here. Verse 30. For by thee I have run through a troop. Verse 37. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. When we were on our spring break trip, I should have fallen on that ice that we got out on. I should have. Mathematically speaking, I should have hurt myself badly. And God let me slide down like this, down the slope. God kept me. We think it's funny. It sounds funny. That's the kindness of God. I could have broken an elbow, a hip. I could have been broken my neck. God did it. God did this for David. My feet did not slip. Look at verse 40. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Men, I'm just trying to say to us, when you go to work, you young people, if you're going to go to college, whatever's ahead, you need to say, Lord, I look into you. You have to be my strength. I can't do it in myself. I'm cast upon you. This is David. If anybody had the right to say, you know, my credentials are pretty good. God's already set me apart. I'm getting anointed to be the future king, and all I've been doing is keeping sheep. But the David, the one that men like to make great stories about or rip into his life, this man was God's vessel and God did great things with him. And it ought to impact us. One of the most extraordinary things you'll hear older Christians say when they look back at their life is this: God did it all for me. God saved me. God kept me. You'll hear older Christians, men or women, this is what He did for me. He brought me through hard days. I was just going to go under. He encouraged me when my faith was weak. He gave me victory over my adversaries. He made my path to prosper. He carried me. He helped me. He tended my wounds. He ministered life. He carried me to His kingdom all the way. It's all of God. It's all of the grace of God. Jesus Christ is the one true Savior. He is the authority. The heavens declare His glory. The earth is full of His glory. We are not strong in ourselves. The God of David is our God. I'm fading. You're fading. All of you are cut flowers, as Paul Washer says. But God is our strength. And though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed, being strengthened, because God is with us. He loves to show Himself strong. Men don't triumph in their own strength. It's God that does it. So David was, in summary, really what David was declaring to the world is this: God made David. That's what he's saying. God made David. I didn't make myself. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Verse 48, it is God that avengeth me. Oh, saints, is that your testimony as well? God is your strength. God is our strength. He's a protector, a deliverer. He's a rewarder to those, His children, and He is our strength. It's not a big theory or a concept. He is with us. His strength is with us. And finally, I said there were five things. What else did David sing about? The fifth thing that closes his song is that God's mercy, steadfast love, I think is what the ESV, God's mercy endures forever. Look at the last two verses. Therefore, I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto Thy name. He is the tower of salvation for His King, and showeth mercy to His anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. David is getting to the end of his days, and he's get the end of this song of thanksgiving. And he says, therefore I will give thanks unto Thee. This God has been full of mercy all of my life. You know, he's not just talking about there's been a little bit of mercy here and there. When he looks at the whole of it, when he reflects over his life, he knows that it's God's steadfast love or this enduring great mercy that has been with him all the way through. All the way through. Not a trickle, but a constant river. If all you've ever seen are little streams or brooks or the Trinity River or the Brazos River, see if in this life you can ever get to Niagara Falls. And remember, Brother Philip said, if you're looking at little streams and brooks and you think that's God's little trickle of mercy, go see the big one. Go see Niagara. Or go to Yosemite National Park and look at that fall. That's the heavens declaring the glory of God, and God saying, I endure in mercy towards my children. I pour out myself. I'm always constantly. That's what David's saying. Therefore, I will give thanks unto Thee. And He shows mercy to His anointed and to His seed forevermore. David had already said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me, fill it in, what? All the days of my life. Have you had hard days, hard weeks, hard years, lost loved ones, been through difficult things? Yes. But has not mercy carried you all the way? Right? Mercy? The mercy of God? Remember the sermon on Jacob? He's going to go meet Esau and he thought this is it. Esau's finally going to get even. He falls on his face before God. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. Remember, that's how he says it. Because he knew God had carried him all the way. God was his place of enduring mercy. And so when David writes about it in Psalm 23, he didn't just write about it as a nice idea. He lived it. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me. That's the testimony that I just tried to say, that Christians, as they get to the end of their days, that's what they'll tell you. They'll exalt God and they'll diminish themselves. Now, I don't read this text and find a lot about this great David, right? I'm mesmerized by the greatness of God. And that's what is His intent. That's His intent. But you know the beauty of this is David realizes that this mercy that endures forever, this continued, constant waterfall of God's mercy towards sinners, is not going to stop with his life, right? It doesn't stop with David's life. He says that others, his descendants, people to come, that's us, that God's mercy would endure and would continue, would be poured out. What's the ultimate fulfillment of that? Of what David was saying? That the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would come through his lineage. That the Lord Jesus Christ would come. That's the ultimate expression of God's mercy, His kindness, His gift, the gift of God, Jesus Christ. All of His mercy, undeserved. So David tells us, He is the God whose mercy endures. Five things, beloved. What a song. What a song. What pieces of this song that you ought to take to memory. Remember these. Put them into your life. You men, you go to work tomorrow, whatever you hold, whatever is for tomorrow. Remember, God is your strength. You're not looking to your own strength. You're looking to Him. And He will strengthen you. He will strengthen all that you're about. So this song is so life-affecting. All of you in here, you teenagers, you young boys and girls, you moms, you dads, all of you, it is a summary of the grace of God in living. That He's a God of security. He is our protector. That He's a God of deliverance. He'll come. He'll deliver. He'll show Himself strong. He is the God of reward, blessing, taking care of you, ministering to you. That sometimes pouring out such mercy that all you'll be able to say is with tears, "Oh Lord, I can't take anymore. You're so gracious and kind." He's the God of strength. He causes your feet to run. He causes your hands to labor. And He's the God of mercy. Oh, beloved, such songs of thanksgiving are to be ours too. Right? They're to be ours too. God help us to hear the song of David, the song of our great God who loves us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do say, blessed be the God, our rock, like David said. Blessed be the God who triumphed, who showed Himself so glorious. Lord, we're grateful for the life of David. We're grateful that through the ages You had his life for the testimony of the redemptive plan of God, the kindness of God, the mercies of God. That all of his days and all of his years were for a purpose. And that at the end of those days, He wrote these words, this song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Scriptures. Thank you for the Word of God that's alive. It speaks to us. Lord, it purifies us. It causes us to realize how much we need to lay hold of these truths and believe them and see You as our God, our Protector, our Deliverer, our great reward, our strength, and the God of mercy. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that these truths did not stop with David, that they have been enduring. Thank You, Lord, that we're in on it, that You've had mercy on us. Thank You that our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, our children to come, those yet to be born, Lord, You'll have mercy. Blessed be the Lord. Do great things. None of us have any strength in ourselves. You're the one who deserves all the glory. Blessed be Your holy name. Amen.